You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of what I hope will be a very special, very enjoyable Valentine's Views podcast for you on this Monday, February 15th. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Couple of things for you today. First, we're going to go through my selections in my first three-round mock draft at Big Blue View. Those of you who are familiar with the site know that traditionally each year at this time, I do weekly mock drafts using a simulator, making picks for the Giants, and we'll go through some of those. We'll go through some of the parameters and some of the reasons for why I do this the way that I do, and we'll talk about some of the picks that I made in this first mock that I've done. Also, a little bit later on, we have an interview with Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy that you're not going to want to miss, as he talks about some of his favorite players from Senior Bowl week a couple of weeks back, and some guys that could be good fits for the Giants, guys that you need to pay attention to and study up on as we approach the 2021 NFL draft. All right, let's do this first. We'll talk about my first three-round mock draft. I used the Pro Football Network simulator. There are several simulators out there. Draft Network has a simulator. I believe Pro Football Focus has a simulator. There are a couple of other. There's a FanSpeak simulator out there. So there are plenty of choices. And as we go through this approaching the draft, I'll probably use various simulators to do this. One of the things that I try to do as I build these mock drafts, this one happens to be a three-rounder. You know, maybe as we go along and as I learn prospects a little bit more, we'll go four rounds, five rounds, maybe a full seven rounds. But one of the things that I try to do is present different scenarios. As we sit here in the middle of February, I'm not absolutely trying to predict the players that I think the Giants will draft. I'm trying to present different scenarios, different ways that the draft could unfold, and get opportunities to talk about different players and different ways to fill what we see as potential needs for the Giants. And obviously, at this time of year, although we love to talk about mock drafts, we love to discuss the draft, we're handicapped a little bit because free agency comes before the draft and we don't know what teams will do. We don't know if the Giants will sign a top-tier wide receiver. We don't know if they'll be able to find some edge rushing help or cornerback help or what they might do in free agency. We don't know yet what players they're going to move on from that are currently on their own roster as well. But the speculation is fun. We know you enjoy it. I enjoy it. So with all of that said, let's get to my picks in this first edition of our mock draft. In the first round at number 11, I chose Jalen Waddle, wide receiver from Alabama. The reality was the other three receivers, Devonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts of Florida, were off the board. Also off the board were cornerbacks Patrick Surtain and Caleb Farley. That left Waddle at 11 and perhaps some of the edge rushers, perhaps Rashawn Slater of Northwestern. I have said repeatedly throughout the offseason that the biggest need for the Giants, you know, going into 2021 is to find weapons for quarterback Daniel Jones as he enters his third season. So here, I pretty much went with the chalk pick, went with the pick that most of the mock drafts would make in this situation as well. I went with Waddle, the explosive wide receiver out of Alabama, guy that's got return ability on kickoffs as well. So, you know, we went right to the biggest need with the best player available to fill that need. In round two, I went with Jalen Phillips, edge rusher out of Miami at number 43. And here, this was really, for me, was a choice between Phillips, productive edge rusher out of Miami, and Jason Owe of Penn State, another highly regarded, talented edge rusher with a lot of traits, long arms, ability to bend, some good explosion off the edge, but a guy that had no real production at Penn State in 2020. And I went with Phillips, although he's got an injury history, a concussion history, had retired once and took a year off while he was at Miami, has had wrist injuries that required surgery. I went with Phillips. I mean, this is a guy who has all of the traits that you want, showed the ability both to rush standing up and with his hand in the ground at Miami. He's got the long arms. He's got the size. He's got the ability to bend the edge. He had 9 sacks, 29 hurries, 18 run stops this year for Miami. I could not ignore that production. In my story at Big Blue View, I said, you know, in this particular scenario, it wouldn't surprise me for the Giants to pick Owe for the simple reason that defensive line coach Sean Spencer coached Owe at Penn State, knows the player, knows exactly what the Giants would be getting. And if the Giants were to pick Owe, I'm certain it would come with a strong recommendation from Sean Spencer. So, but I can't ignore the production. So at number 43, I went with Phillips. At 76 for the Giants in the third round, I took cornerback Greg Newsome out of Northwestern, 6'1", 190, held wide receivers to a 31.7 passer rating against when he was targeted in 2020. Guy that has the length, the athleticism to play some man coverage and give the Giants a potential option across from James Bradberry at a position where the Giants, you know, needed or really had a revolving door in 2020 and needed some help going forward. So pretty much in this mock, I didn't make any trades. I didn't consider any trades. I pretty much went chalk, and I pretty much went and tried in my three rounds to hit need positions. I don't always recommend, you know, making quote-unquote need picks, but in this particular case, what I wanted to do is kind of go chalk, kind of lay a baseline for the mock drafts that are to come over the next several weeks. If you follow those mocks, you will see that each one is done slightly different. In some of those mocks, I'll make trades. In some of those mocks, I may pick wide receiver in round one. I may go a different way the next time, even though I might be presented with the choice of Jalen Waddle versus, you know, versus Rashawn Slater versus a cornerback versus an edge rusher. I may go a different way, you know, simply to create a different discussion. But here I went pretty much chalk. And you guys, you know, feel free to email bigblueview@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this mock. Let me know what you think of the podcast as well. All right, Giants fans, please hang in there as we take a break for a word from our sponsors at SB Nation. When we come back, I will be talking to Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy in an interview that I think you're really going to enjoy. So stay tuned.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Giants fans, I'm always thrilled when our next guest makes a little bit of time to join our little New York Giants-related program. Have a chance right now to get some draft-related thoughts from Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy. Jim, thank you very, very much for joining the show and spending some time with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I love coming on with you, so thanks for having me back.
Hey, so I need to start with this. I just need to start by congratulating you guys on pulling off a successful Senior Bowl in this environment. I'm sure you guys feel good about that, as you most definitely should.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It was definitely a challenging year trying to pull off a Senior Bowl where we're flying in people from all over the country during a pandemic. So there were definitely, we kind of had to reinvent the wheel this year to make it happen. But, you know, we were working through our plan through the fall. And what really helped was, you know, once football season started, we had a lot of things laid out over the summer, spring and summer. And then, but once football started and you got to pick the brains of, you know, friends at the in the NFL and at the college level to see what was working and not working. Once they had their players in the building, it was a lot easier to formulate our plan and move forward. And really, once we got to the point where we felt confident we could pull it off safely, then it was full speed ahead. And yeah, I mean, it's always a relief to get through Senior Bowl week because there's so much that goes into it. But you know, especially in a year like this year, to bring 136 players to Mobile and you know, the entire NFL, and to only have one positive test out of over 3,600 tests given during the week. Yeah, we feel very grateful.
And, you know, the Senior Bowl is always, you know, an incredibly important part of the pre-draft process. Was it, you know, for you, you know, for the NFL folks, for the players that you were able to get involved in it, was it more important this year just because of the circumstances, because of no combine, because a lot of these kids didn't get to, you know, or at least some of the kids didn't get to have a fall season? Was it even more important of an event, you know, this time around?
Yeah, I think it was. I think that's fair to say. You know, I think smart teams have really moved away from combine evaluations, to be honest. They've gotten back. The value of the combine is for the medicals and for the interviews, not as much on the workout stuff anymore. I was a part of teams that get burned by that stuff, you know, really evaluating guys in shorts and T-shirts. So, you know, I really think that the smart teams are really focusing on our week and the other All-Star games because it's actual real football. Yeah. But no, it's certainly more important. And we told our 136 guys when they got here, they're in a unique position because they're probably the only 136 guys in this draft cycle that are going to be interviewed face to face with plexiglass, obviously, this year, but interviewed face to face with all 32 teams and be evaluated on the field for an entire week. And just that familiarity, that exposure to these decision makers is absolutely critical. I mean, they're going to try to pull off pro days this spring, but that's going to be mostly scouts crisscrossing the country doing that. It's not going to be GMs and director level guys. The guys are going to be making the calls in April. So I mean, it's just without the combine this year and without a normal pro day circuit, and without the East-West Shrine game and the NFLPA game, this was, I do feel like the game took on a little more importance this year.
All right, so let's get down to business here. Which of your guys out of those 136 guys who made themselves some money during the Senior Bowl week?
Okay, how long do we have right now, Ed?
Well, I can go as long as you can go.
That's a really hard question because I feel like all these guys help themselves in one way or another, whether it's on the field or in the interviews. Or just showing their competitiveness and toughness and love for football by coming here. But, we could really go position by position across the board that I'm staring at right now. And, Mac Jones certainly helped himself, the quarterback from Alabama. Running back Michael Carter from North Carolina helped himself a ton. He had a great week. Wide receivers, D. Eskridge from West Virginia, Josh Palmer, Tennessee, Amari Rogers, Clemson, Demetri Felton, UCLA. You can work across the board every single position. There's guys, we're just getting through the end of the tape these next couple of days, and we've been through every position group, but now we got to go back and rewatch the game and some other things. But there was a ton of guys. I mean, really at every position that really showed out, and some of them were a little bit of a surprise, like they wouldn't have been here if we didn't really like them as players. But it's always interesting to see which guys come here and are better than we thought they were, and there was a number of those guys this year as well.
So let's talk a little bit. My site covers the Giants, and I think if you follow the Giants at all, you kind of know what their needs are going into this offseason. They need some help for Daniel Jones at wide receiver. They could probably use some edge rush help on defense. They could probably use a cornerback, maybe an additional linebacker, maybe even some offensive line help. So there are some areas. So let's actually talk about a couple of those. Let's talk about wide receiver. And there's a couple guys that were in your game that I've looked at that just jump off the page for me as guys I would love to see in a Giants uniform. I mean, one of those guys is Nico Collins, and another one as a wide receiver is Kadarius Toney. I mean, if you can just tell me a little bit about those two guys, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, the nice thing about this year's class in our game, it was kind of 31 flavors. There's a lot of different skill sets. Nico was one of our biggest receivers down here, along with like Sage Surratt from Wake Forest. But Nico's a guy that's, I think you measured 6.042, and he was 215, which is down about 15 pounds from where he played on 2019 tape at Michigan. So, I was really curious to see what he was going to look like at that lighter weight. Much quicker, much twitchier player now than he was. I mean, you got to go because he opted out this year. All the tape you've watched on 2019, it's like this guy's almost a different player now. And you can see it in his releases and at the top of routes. Much, much quicker. Had some unbelievable plays on the ball during the week. Some really acrobatic stuff, some great red zone stuff. So a lot of guys, 6.04, 2.215, they struggle to release. They struggle to at the top of a route. And that's a couple areas where Nico's gotten a lot better now that he's trimmer and fitter. So again, if you're looking for a bigger receiver, and to me, he's not just a possession guy anymore because he runs well now. I mean, Nico looks on tape coming out of Senior Bowl week, he looked like a high 4.4 guy. So when you got those measurables, when you're 6.4, 215 running high 4.4s, I mean, there's not many guys in the league that have that tool set. So he's a really good one. And then Kadarius was obviously one of the most electric players in college football this year. And I've personally been watching Kadarius for about 6 or 7 years now, going back to his high school days here in Mobile. And he played quarterback back then. But even from his first day, I remember seeing him when I was scouting for the Seahawks his freshman year at Gainesville. By far the most dynamic player on the field as a freshman. And they've had really good receivers. They've had Van Jefferson and Tyree Cleveland and Freddie Swain. I mean, those three guys all got drafted last year. this year they've got Trayvon Grimes and Kadarius. So it's not like he's been at a school that has lacked wide receiver talent. But he's just his change of direction and, you know, how explosive he is, you know, with the ball in his hands. And he's one of those guys, too, that you kind of throw the measurables out because he's not the biggest guy. But he plays really big with the ball in his hands. He's really powerful through contact. He's tough. He's aggressive. The football makeup is really off the charts when it comes to passion for the game and competitiveness when he gets on the field. And, you know, as a route runner, he's a really hard cover because he's so quick changing direction and he knows how to set guys up. And so, yeah, I think the league's looking for guys like Deebo Samuel, who was in our game a couple years ago. That's kind of the trend right now, trying to find that guy. You just get the ball in his hands quick and let him make plays. And I think Kadarius is the next one in line in that mold.
What's the chance? I think I know the Giants pick at 11, which I think gives them 43 in the second round. What's the chance he's still sitting there at 43?
Zero.
That's what I thought.
No, he's going to be long gone by then. Just too dynamic of a player. You know, there's just too much playmaking ability there. Mm-hmm. And he can return punts. So, no, he won't be there. I think Nico's probably got a chance to be there. I think that's kind of the area where Nico's going to go right now, you know, that late one, early two area. So they're completely different skill sets, and they bring completely different things to the table for the Giants. But like you said, Daniel needs weapons. They need to surround a young quarterback like that with people that can make plays for him. And both of those guys would certainly help in that area.
You know, and I know there were a ton of guys in your game, Sage Surratt, you know, Tylan Wallace, Amari Rodgers, Dwayne Eskridge. Just tell me, you know, just quickly about, you know, a couple of those guys you think might be good fits or good targets for the Giants.
Yeah, Eskridge is a guy that I think is going to go somewhere in that late one, early two range as well. You know, just playing in the MAC at Western Michigan, played at a completely different speed than everyone else. And then so you wonder, like, is it the level of competition or, like, you know, how fast is he really? Because he looks blazing fast on tape. And then he comes down here and, he only practiced 2 days, but he had a collarbone injury, a chest injury at the end of the second day. But no one could cover him. I mean, he's probably going to be a low 4.3 guy. He's tremendous with the ball in his hands. It's not quite the change of direction guy that Kadarius is, but like equally dangerous when he gets the ball, just because he can, his first step acceleration is off the chart. So D's going to be in there. You mentioned Tylan Wallace, one of my favorite players in the draft. He's really a pro receiver. Again, a guy that's only 5'11", 185, but plays like he's 6'2", 215. Again, throw the measurables out with Tylan. Like he plays big on the ball. He plays big with the ball in his hands. He's competitive, really fiery competitor. So he's a really good one. And really the guy that people have to focus on that should be gaining a lot of traction out of Senior Bowl week is Jametric Felton from UCLA. He played mostly running back at UCLA. So we kind of did the opposite of what we did last year with Antonio Gibson, who ended up having an awesome rookie year this year for Washington as their starting running back. You know, Antonio was a wide receiver in college. Brought him down here, and I told him, Antonio, you could be an okay receiver at the next level, but you got a chance to be a really good running back. So why don't you come down here and kind of showcase that for the week? Let the league see, you know, where you're at instincts wise as a runner. And he did that, and I think that Dimitric did the same thing at wideout. I mean, for a guy that's never been a full time receiver, he's played out there a little bit, but he's more of a running back by trade. His route savvy and his ability to create separation it's pretty unique. He won the receiver of the week award, voted on by his team's corners that were trying to cover him all week, trying to cover him unsuccessfully for the most part. But got open all week, made a bunch of tremendous catches. So Dimitric's really one of those guys at the next level. Like, you don't want to label him because you can put him in the backfield and you can get three down value out of him at running back. And then you can put him in the slot. And he even won a bunch outside. He won down the field vertically outside this week as well. So, you know, probably coming into the week, Dimitric was probably thought as more of a mid-round pick, but I don't see him getting out of day two now after the week he had down here.
Yeah, and the league loves those kinds of guys now, you know, the kinds of guys that they can move around and do different things with. I know it's just more and more of the league's going to that kind of a player.
Absolutely.
Let's change gears a little bit. The the Giants got by in 2020 pass rush wise. Leonard Williams had a great year. They got they were able to scheme up some pressure some other ways. They don't necessarily have that number one dominant pass rusher who always needs to be double teamed. And to be honest, I'm not sure that guy is in this draft class either, at least where the Giants are going to be able to select. But there were a couple of guys in your game that I think are probably, day two type picks who can at least help a team in pass rush area. And the guy that keeps jumping off the page to me, and I thought a little bit that I saw from Senior Bowl week is the kid out of Miami, Quincy Roche. When I look at him, I mean, he doesn't look like a tremendous athlete to me, but he just keeps winning. I mean, what are your thoughts on this kid?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Quincy. I actually, when you started setting that up, no, he's one of those guys that's better than I thought he was. And we've liked him for 2 years now, going back to his time at Temple. Yeah, he's not a wowy athlete, although I will say this, when during our week seeing him live, he is twitchier and a little more slippery and bendy than I thought he was. I guess the biggest compliment I could give the guy is that he's just a really hard block. He makes people work when they block him. I mean, you see a lot of guys like have a good rep here and they'll flash here and flash there, but Quincy all week, I don't know if anyone ever really got their hands on him and made it look, he just locked him up. I mean, he knows how to set guys up. He knows how to rush. That's why I think he's got a chance to contribute immediately at the next level as on third downs and in sub situations, because that's a big jump going from college football, where offensive linemen aren't really skilled using their hands yet, to a league where those guys have to pick up the tricks of the trade and know how to do those things. And so that's why it's hard sometimes for young pass rushers to really be impactful right away. But I think Quincy's got a chance to get in the field and contribute in a big way next year, because he already knows how to rush. And, he knows how to set guys up. He knows how to counter. He knows how to feel pressure. He's really good with his hands. He's relentless. So, he had a really good week down here. And, I'm with you. I think he's somewhere on day two. And he's probably going to be a better player and outperform wherever he gets picked, because he's just that's the kind of player he is. He's just a producer.
It's interesting, because that was kind of the way that I was thinking of him too, is he might well be a kid who, wherever he gets picked, he's going to outperform that draft slot. Was sort of the same way I was thinking about him. But
yeah, absolutely.
Let me ask you, one of the talk, I get comments from fans about, oh, the Giants should draft this guy and that guy, and this guy can help their pass rush. But one of the interesting things is, that the Giants basically play 3-4. So a lot of their edge guys are the stand-up kinds of guys. And so I look at a lot of these kids who play so much in college as 4-3 defensive ends, and it's hard for me to envision, I think a kid like Patrick Jones is one who played a lot of 4-3 at Pitt. It's hard for me to envision, some of these guys as sort of a stand-up end in a 3-4. So I just want to ask you, other than Quincy, maybe a couple of other guys, from your game, or a couple of other guys that might even be, day two types, who can really be sort of that stand up, pass rush end, and, maybe drop into coverage on occasion.
Yeah, I don't see this guy dropping into coverage much, but Carlos Basham, Boogie Basham from Wake Forest, is a really cool player, because he can pressure from anywhere along the line. And I do think he can stand up and do it. We've seen him do it. He can also line up inside over guards and whoop them as well. So, you know, Boogie might be a first-round guy. You know, there's a really good chance Boogie goes in the first round. But if we're talking more day two, like exactly what you were just kind of describing, Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame is a guy that really showed out during our week. You know, he did play on his feet. He did play from a two-point a little bit there at Notre Dame. They dropped him a little bit, but we did a lot more down here with him, and he looked really good at it. A guy like Ellerson Smith out of Northern Iowa is a really high upside guy with all the physical traits you need. If there were a combine this year, Ellerson would have been kind of the buzz guys coming out of Indy this year because he's going to test off the charts. He's another guy because of his length. I think you can move him inside, move him all around. But he's athletic enough to play on his feet and get a lot done. Jonathan Cooper from Ohio State, Wyatt Hubert from Kansas State, Shaka Toney from Penn State, you know, is a guy that, it's just like you talked about, played with his hand in the dirt mostly for Penn State, came down here, got to stand up more, got to cover more. And there's a lot more to Shaka Toney than probably what you saw on Penn State tape. He's a really versatile player.
Interesting. Let's talk quickly about the cornerback position. You know, obviously, the Giants have James Bradbury, but they sort of had a revolving door at the other corner and probably played a lot more zone than Patrick Graham would like. And sort of largely because of that second corner. If they don't go for a guy like Patrick Surtain or Caleb Farley, you know, at 11, you got a couple of guys later that might be able to to start at corner, on the other side, especially guys that can do some man.
Yeah, I mean your nickel spots. Pretty solved with Darnay Holmes as well, right? I mean,
right.
Darnay was in our game last year, and he played at a high level for the Giants. Am I right there?
Yes.
Okay. So you're really looking for outside guys, and there are a number of them. I mean, Aaron Robinson from UCF is one of my favorite corners in this class because you can move him around. He reminds me a lot of Minka Fitzpatrick when Minka was at Alabama. Aaron is a guy that started off at Alabama, but he played mostly in the slot for UCF, but he's just a baller. I mean, you could play him at safety, you could play him outside. Really good player. I think one of the biggest risers coming out of our game is someone up in your neck of the woods. Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. You know, big, 6'3", 215 pounds, really bends and moves easily for a guy his size. Got his hands on a lot of balls down here last week. Robert Rochelle is a small school guy from Central Arkansas, kind of like Bradbury. You know, James played in the Senior Bowl before I got here, but I remember I scouted him at Samford. Robert's, you know, really similar level of competition in college. So, you know, just like it did with James, it probably took James, you know, a year or two to really break out at the next level. Robert's probably a little bit in that same vein that, if you need a guy next year to step right in, I don't know if Robert's going to be that guy, but he's probably going to go at the tail end of day two just because he's long. He can really run. He's competitive. He knows how to play the ball. And then a guy, you know, another guy that really played himself up last week is Keith Taylor from Washington. So another long body, you know, 6'1", long arms, good press man player. And again, a guy that really stood out last week in coverage.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about Keith Taylor. I'm glad you mentioned him because every time we have talked to Patrick Graham about what sort of player he likes, especially out, you know, in coverage, he says, do they have long arms? Can they run? You know, and can they tackle? He says, if they can do those three things, I like them.
Well, I'll have to bring up a guy that is probably under most radars, is a junior that played in our game named Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota. He was 6'0", 200 pounds with 32-inch arms and an 80-and-a-quarter wingspan. So that's rare. That's rare size. There's only seven corners in the league right now over 6'3", and most of them are stiff. And Benjamin's definitely not stiff. He can really bend. He did a great job getting his hands on people at the line of scrimmage down here. again, came out early, had one more year left at Minnesota. And, you know, that type of height and length, I mean, he's going to – and he was very competitive down here, very physical, competitive. I think that, you know, the league right now is all over the kid. I don't think that draft Twitter and the internet has caught up yet on Ben, but they will. They will when it starts leaking out how much the league likes him. So that's probably another guy the Giants should be looking at.
Interesting. Hey, Jim, you know, we could do this all day. I think probably that's probably a good place for us to call it a day. Hopefully, you know, maybe before the draft, we'll get you back on. We'll talk about some other guys. We'll talk about some other positions. Really, really appreciate your time. Why don't you just let folks know what your Twitter is and all that, you know, before I let you go.
Okay. Yeah. They can follow the Senior Bowl at Senior Bowl on Twitter. And then mine is at @JimNagy_SB for Senior Bowl. And yeah, we'll be posting stuff every day. I'm gonna post some video clips from our week a couple times per day on a couple players a day as we work through the draft process. And then I'm gonna be starting back up doing work with ESPN here in about a week between now and the draft, like I have the last couple years. So yeah, just give us a follow, and hopefully we'll be posting some good stuff and keeping the Giants fans, you know, in tune with guys that can come help their team next year.
Yeah, we always appreciate the help. So thank you very, very much for coming on.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Thanks as always for listening and supporting Big Blue View on its many platforms, which include not only the website and the podcast, but YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and our Twitter page. Also, you know, please remember, COVID-19 is still raging out there. There are also storms, you know, winter storms going up and down the East Coast and across much of the country. So, you know, please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.